Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. And, Rafael Devers made his debut for the San Francisco Giants last night, and a couple hits in a loss. By the way, coming up at noon today, we've got June Lee. He's a Yahoo contributing writer, and you should check out what he wrote about the Red Sox and Devers, and we're going to get his perspective at noon. And from I'll let him speak for himself, Evan, but June Lee was talking as though the Red Sox really made a mistake and they've brought this on themselves, and that it's been kind of an S show in Boston.
Yeah, my conclusion from his well-reported piece, a lot of investigative journalism involved and anonymous sources, I think this is a transformative deal for the Giants and a potentially destructive deal for the Red Sox. Like, that's what it kind of left me feeling like. No matter who was at fault, no matter what happened, if you can put water under the bridge, like, this is an AD, you know, BC kind of move for the Giants. Like, since they were winning World Series, it feels like they've been searching for some place to kind of lift off from. And while you could certainly point to Buster Posey taking over as president of baseball operations, like, this is the first big splash they've had in a long time. And I just feel like June 15th, 2025 is going to be a date we remember, for good or for worse, because it signals that the Giants are serious again. Like, everyone, you know, we were having the, and we've had this discussion, feels like a lot, you know, are the Giants a blue blood? Are they, you know, one of those old marquee franchises? And whether they are or they aren't, it's up to people. But it's like, in 2025, that's the kind of move that a legitimate franchise makes. And Buster Posey got it done.
Yeah, I think there's another part of that too is, yes, it shows the Giants are serious. But I think it also, it's got to at least get the attention of the other teams in the division. Certainly the Dodgers and the Padres. I mean, the Giants went out and got an incredible left-handed bat. They didn't give up a lot to get it. And it's also a great move for the Giants' stature, because it feels like they were the team that had been left out, or they were the team that just couldn't get a player of this caliber. And the fact that, yes, I get it, he came here in a trade, he didn't have any say over it, but I think Devers now joining the Giants takes them from a cute little story to maybe they got some action legitimately for the rest of the year, and then maybe even into the postseason. So I think that's the other thing, too, is not just in the Giants fans' minds have they made a good move, but tangibly they got better, and I think that any team in the NL West or the National League probably sees that and acknowledges the Giants are better today than they were Sunday at noon.
Yeah, I mean, look, and their divisions, it's tough, man. I mean, yeah. You got every single team except for the Rockies is willing to spend big money. Like, the Diamondbacks went out and spent 200-plus on Corbin Burns. The Padres obviously spent a lot of money. The Dodgers, I don't need to say any more than that. But it's like, you know, you have to spend money to be competitive nowadays. And whether these contracts are going to age well, whether they're going to age poorly, I think Buster Posey understands that's just kind of the way you have to play the game now. And I realize that everyone associates those championship-winning teams with being, you know, maybe kind of cobbled together or, you know, band of misfits type of deal. It's like they were top 10 payrolls back then. They spent a lot of money to get those championships. And maybe it's just been because they've been so average or 500, it hasn't felt like they've been good enough to invest in. But I think Buster Posey saw a couple pieces this offseason, the first being Chapman that he wanted to keep. Adames was one that he wanted to get. Endeavors was one that was available to him to poach. And it doesn't really matter how they got him. It matters that they're on the team. And he spent $500 million between all three of them to acquire them. Like, and more than $500 million, in fact, that he's invested between those three players. And that is significant. I mean, that's the kind of money that we talk about the Warriors spending or the Niners investing. Like, the Niners had the most cash invested in their team last season of any team in the NFL. The Warriors have been known for these exorbitant tax bills and the largest luxury tax in the history of basketball and all the rest. And it's like, where have the Giants been? And this is the kind of team now, or the kind of move and endeavors, that signals that you're willing to go to the big boy blackjack table and play some poker with the rest of the fellas.
Yep. No doubt about it. Let's go to Leroy. Leroy's in Oakland. Hey, Leroy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Steiny. Thank you. What's going on, Evan? Great job, you guys, as always. I just wanted to say that, you know, I like the pick, right? I like what we did with Devers, man. And it was like, I wish the Golden State Warriors would have did that with LaMelo Ball when it came to Wiseman. When that second pick came, I wish they would have took the sexy pick. But the Warriors thought they had a need for a center. And, you know, the Giants, they said, hey, I'm going for the sexy pick. Yeah, I need a first baseman. I even thought they needed a left-hander. But they went, I'm going with the sexy pick. And I like that with Buster. But I think we just still need a first baseman. I mean, whether he buys in Devers to play in first base or not, he hasn't played first base. So, you know, that's going to be a transition. And I think with us getting Devers, those one-run games that we lost right after that hot streak that we had went on, I think we win those one-run games by getting Devers. But what about the two-run games, the three-run games? I think you're going to need a defensive first baseman, a guy that plays every day, and you're going to need the bat. So I was looking at Josh Naylor, man. I don't know what happened with that. I thought we were going to go after him, take him from the Diamondbacks, take him out of the division, and he's a solid first baseman, but we didn't. So, yeah, I just think that, you know, in order to compete with the Dodgers, and hey, Steiny, I heard your bet. We're going to hold off on that for a little bit, the bet on the Giants winning the division, but we'll see if we can get a everyday first baseman, and I just think we still need one, guys. We got a bat. We got some hitting. Now we need a guy that's going to play first base every day. We still have that need, so I think Posey has to address that.
Thanks for the call, Leroy. Does he got to do it now?
No. In fact, actually, you know, one thing about the press conference I thought was interesting is, like, they really rolled out the red carpet for Devers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the whole team was there. Pasta, who was in the Steven Rizzotto was there, a.k.a. Pasta, who was talking about they had, like, the fog machine that he was emerging from. You know, every single time that there was an answer, there was an applause from his teammates. Adames was really hyping him up. Everyone was excited. You know, it's like, do we really have to coddle this guy? You know, there was a feeling of coddling because I still don't think they really yet know who this dude is. I think that Devers is willing to start anew. I think the Giants are trying to make sure that they get off on the right foot with him and set the precedent for what hopefully can be a fruitful relationship between the two. But it was like, I mean, they pulled out all the stops for this guy.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting.
Well, I
Barry Bonds was there.
Yeah.
That's right. Bonds doesn't do anything. Like, he looked pissed to have to sign all those autographs and have the cameras in his face. I think Bonds is a nice guy, by the way. He just doesn't like doing the whole pony show. And Barry Bonds was out there walking Rafael Devers to batting practice.
And here's what Devers said.
I think just looking at him, my game has already improved a lot.
All right. That was Rafael Devers. No, when I saw that and I saw the Giants at the press conference, I had to admit, I thought, boy, that's straight out of the Warriors playbook. I just remember years back, the Warriors started bringing their whole organization into press conferences, kind of to sit there and be a part of them. And then some players would straggle in. And sure enough, the Giants had a bunch of guys at the press conference. You know, the one thing about Posey that I was thinking, and it, in comparison to Farhan Zaidi, and I think this is just kind of the way I read it, is Posey has been looking at the Giants, and you know how when we even, you know, the Warriors were doing pretty well last year at times, and we were talking about how far they could go, and three things always seemed to come up, and one was, you know, they lack athleticism, they lack size, and they're not, you know, they need more shooters, and all the while we were saying that, you kind of hope that those things won't surface, if you know what I mean, or they could somehow overcome them. I look at Buster Posey as watching this team for 50, 55 games, and he says, we can't hit. Like, we've got to get more hitting. And I think he looks at it like, I can't believe we're 8-10 games over 500, given the fact that we cannot score runs. And it just got me to thinking about somebody who said, you know, Farhan might have overthought this move. But Buster Posey's the kind of player who, and maybe it's because he was a player, and I always feel like players know exactly what they have on their own team. And I think he looked in that clubhouse and said, if it's not Devers, it would have been somebody else. But they had to address that. They had to.
But they weren't able to before.
Exactly. I think they were trying to do it a little piecemealish, maybe over the course of a few years with Chapman, Adames, and then, you know, maybe Eldridge comes up, then they have him under control for a while. But it does feel like Posey said, if somebody comes available, we got to make a move, or we've got to really inquire.
Well, that's why it was so important to go get Devers. And I'm curious to see how it sort of fell apart from the Red Sox side of things when we talked to June Lee at 12 o'clock, who sort of wrote the whole manifesto for it. But that's why it was important to pounce now, because you can't wait until free agency. Like, there's another big bat that's coming up this summer, is going to be free agent. His name's Kyle Tucker. And Jim Bowden yesterday, awesome interview, go listen to it on the Odyssey app. He talked about how Tucker's transformed that Cubs offense, where he's really been the key to their being one of the best offenses in baseball this year. That guy's a free agent. I would not expect the Giants to be able to go acquire him in free agency before Devers. But now you have Rafael Devers. You have someone that, if Tucker looks at the Giants and says, yeah, that's a pretty damn good club, like, I could be the missing piece that I could help get them over the top. But before, it's like you're stepping in to be the savior.
Right.
That's what scared me so much about the whole Eldridge promotion that everybody wanted. Like, they just want Eldridge here. They want him fast. They just bring him up. It's like, you cannot ask anybody to step in and be the savior for a lineup. Devers has the ability to kind of do that. But I think, as we'll see throughout the season, you probably still need another bat or guys to hit better, and Chapman can hopefully be that. But it's like, now looking at the offseason, now you can also pitch to a free agent, hey, you're not the only guy in this lineup that they have to fear. you're not the only dude that every single time an opposing pitching staff gets a scouting report, your name is circled in all red and no one else is on their scouting report. Now you get to play with Devers. You get to hit with Devers. He can protect you. You can protect him. Like, I also think it makes it easier to acquire another big bat if that's obviously in the cards for Posey in the future.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. No, I think that's a good point. I mean, 2021 notwithstanding, I think, you know, over the last 5-8 years, if you're a Major League Baseball player looking at San Francisco, it's essentially an indistinguishable spot and an indistinguishable franchise. You're essentially a 500 team, and you play in a pitcher's ballpark. So if you're a free agent hitter, why would you come here? Your numbers are probably going to suffer, and there's a good chance you're not going to win. So I do understand now, you know, and it's gonna come down to the individual player that they want to go get if he's a free agent. But now a free agent could theoretically look at this spot and say, okay, I know it's not a great hitter's park, but we can win there. Like, that's a really good team. And then the pool of players that may want to come here just got bigger simply because you're a better team and have bigger aspirations than you've had, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago. And you got a guy in Buster Posey who's running an organization and seems to be putting them on the map, or let's say putting them back on the map in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think it's like, before the game, in a way, was kind of more significant than the game itself. You would have loved to win, and I think Devers' two hits, one of them, by the way, like, Emmanuel Clase, the closer for the Guardians, has not been as good as he's typically been, which is one of, if not the best closers in baseball. But you also got a taste of what Devers does, which is, like, he can hit good pitching. That's something else that you kind of have to have if you're going to beat, to Bobby's point, the Dodgers or another big name team in the NL, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Chicago, like, all of those teams usually have frontline pitching that it varies to different degrees. But if you're just stacking up against the Dodgers, like, you need someone that can go hit a Blake Snell or hit a Tyler Glasnow. And the Giants don't really have a whole lot of those frontline bats that can beat good pitching. Rafael Devers could beat anybody.
Right.
He can beat anybody on the mound at a given time. And for him to just, like, Emmanuel Clase sits 99-101 with cut. And he flicked that ball to left field like it was nothing. Like, that's not an easy at-bat, but he made that at-bat look easy. And this Giants offense for the large majority of the season, it has not looked easy at the plate.
Right, right. 888-957-9570. Is the number. Giants, they lose last night. They've lost 4 out of 5, but it's going to take more losses than that to quell the enthusiasm. And it's nothing to win, win tonight.
They do have to start winning.
They do. They do. And they'll get another crack at it tonight. Verlander back on the mound. Maybe on the other side we'll get into some pitching, because it's funny. Once you put Devers in the lineup, then you start looking outside of their lineup and start looking to pitching and defense.
Well, you have thoughts.
I do have some thoughts. Let's go to Robert first in San Jose. Right. Hey, Robert, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. Hey, you guys are right on the dot. Posey's right on the dot about our hitting. We're freaking suck. We suck. Our pitching is what's holding this team above average. So is one hitter going to make a difference, a big difference? I mean, we have Barry Bonds for many years. He got us to a World Series. So one hitter, as good as he may be, may not make a difference. But this may take us over the top when it comes to hitting. Might win us 3, 4, 5 games. But just trying to see. And yesterday, why didn't the coach start Flores? Why isn't Flores playing more? Why is he... I don't understand. He's one of our best hitters. Is he injured? He comes off the bench, goes for a pinch hit, but I don't understand sometimes the decisions that are being made. I don't think he's injured, is he? I'll take my comments offline.
I mean, they don't want to play him at first.
Well, that's,
I think he's only played, what, four games there this year?
But that's the Devers effect.
Exactly.
You know, it's Devers means you're not going to see a bunch of Flores or Smith. It's like those two guys are going to share the bulk of first base until Devers. I don't know. I mean, like, this is the thing too, Steiny. It's everyone just is assuming that he's going to play first, and he made it clear he's willing to do it. But to ask someone who's never played a professional inning at first base in the middle of a season, I don't think is just a simple task. Like, it's going to take some time. I'd be surprised if he plays first base before the All-Star break. In fact, that might be the best time to try and figure out if he can do it. Because while Devers is a, you know, he's played third base before, you'd imagine he could play first. It's not just that simple. So, yeah, like, that's, I don't look at it as a big drop. Like, you'd rather have Devers in the lineup than Flores, but yeah, that's a consequence of it.
I mean, they could get around it now by playing Devers at third until Chapman comes back, but then that would mean something's got to give once Chapman comes back. It will be interesting.
But that's also a tall task. Like, again, he's played
what, playing
third base
third this
in
year
the past.
After not playing third?
He hasn't played third base for 9 months. Again, like, I'm serious. Like, he didn't play third base at all in spring training because that wasn't his job. They took it away from him, which is the reason he's probably a Giant at this point. And so then he became a full-time DH. He hasn't been taking ground balls. Like, to put him at third base to me would almost be setting him up to fail immediately. Unless he's comfortable doing that. But then you run into the issue of, all right, Chapman's back. You're not playing third anymore.
Right.
That's also something. Again, I think the way that they set up the press conference yesterday signaled to me they are willing to do anything to keep this guy happy, which is fair because he's the biggest bat that they've had since Posey, biggest left-handed bat probably since Bonds. But it also means, like, you gotta kind of tread carefully with him because you don't want to get this relationship off to a rocky start.
No, and I don't think it will. I think at the beginning of these kind of things, everybody's going to say and do the right things. And no, I mean, I'm kind of with you on this team right now. And they've invested so much in pitching and defense. And you look at the roster, and now they're sitting with Devers. They're sitting with Flores. They got a guy in the minor leagues that they love in Eldridge. And I'll even take it a step further with Luciano. They got all these guys that can't field. They got to find positions for him in the field eventually. Well, maybe probably not Luciano, but
I do think
they got to figure that they got to. It might this all might come at the expense of Flores.
Well, I do think like Chapman masks some of the deficiencies around the rest of the infield. Like, he makes that infield look really good, and I think that Jung-Hoo Lee along with Yaz when he plays, makes the outfield look a lot better defensively than it actually is. And you just took away one of your best, if not best, fielders in Chapman. So it's like, yeah, like, Adames made another error last night.
Yep.
That's who he is. Like, he's going to make some good plays and he's going to boot some balls. Schmidt he's a good glove, but he also might make an error in the ninth inning when you need him the most. Like, Tyler Fitzgerald isn't a great second baseman. And then at first base, Smith is good. But if you want to play Flores, you're going to have to take a step back at that position.
Or Devers at some point, probably.
Yeah, whenever he's ready.
888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, the team just added a big boy bat in Rafael Devers. And offense was the issue with this team. Now that they got Devers, is there a bigger concern on this team right now than the offense, or has the offense been dealt with for now and you see some other areas that may need to be improved upon if this team not only wants to make the playoffs but do some damage after that? Now that you take a look at this Giants team in all facets, How are we feeling about it? Not just the fact that they upgraded offensively. Hey, listen in between noon and 12:30 today for your chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever take on your Golden State Valkyries tomorrow night. That segment also brought to you by Frontier Ford. Frontier Ford is bringing the heat this summer with employee pricing for all. You pay what Ford employees pay through July 7th. F-150s, Broncos, Explorers, Escapes, Mavericks, even the Mustang Mach-E. So get to Stevens Creek Boulevard in Santa Clara or 24/7 at frontierford.com. Once again, coming up at noon, we've got writer June Lee, contributing writer for Yahoo, wrote a great story about Devers and the Red Sox. And then at 12:55, John Smoltz, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, to talk baseball on 95.7 The Game.
Get up the middle, there's a base hit. Here comes Lee. Ramos is going to go to third. 1-0 Giants.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Dwayne Kuiper of NBC Sports Bay Area on the call. Rafael Devers double, bringing in the Giants' first run. Who out there would assent?
I think that was Dom Smith, Steiny.
That wasn't the double?
No, it was.
Get up the middle, there's a base hit. Here comes Lee. Ramos is going to go to third. 1-0 Giants.
Why would we play that? Guy's not even going to play anymore.
He's in 320.
He's not playing anymore.
Tom Smith is their best hitter right now. You didn't. Although Devers in the NL, what's his batting average up to now? It's
500.
No, probably. 400. 2-for-5.
Okay.
Yep. He's better than Judge.
Who's sending Jung Hoo Lee in the ninth?
Not Matt Williams. I can tell you that.
Nope.
Would you have sent him?
Maybe. How about that? Well, I mean, okay.
You got to make a choice there. It's a yes or a no.
Okay, I might have. Actually, you know what? I wouldn't have. And the reason I wouldn't have is because, to me, you send him before you get Devers. Because you're a desperate team. But you'd like to think, and I get it, Devers wasn't up, but you'd like to think it's shallow. We still have another guy up there. We're not as desperate as we used to be. Like, to me, sending him there would have just tried to shoehorn something in that probably wouldn't have worked, but you would only do it because you were in a stretch like you were in where you couldn't score more than two runs in a game. I know they only had two runs last night, but maybe they think they can win games without taking unrealistic chances. Now, I will say this, at least on the broadcast, the throw I thought was up the line at third base.
Yeah.
But I think now he just kind of came out when he knew Jung Hoo Lee wasn't coming. Then he moved up the third base line. So, and then he blocked it. So it looked like he would have made it, but I'm not sure that it would have played out the exact same way.
Well, the reason I ask is because there's a lot of people I was sitting with. Like, everyone is actually pretty split. As soon as ball goes up in the air, play happens, obviously he doesn't send them. Everyone's looking around at each other like, should he have sent him? I said no. I was sitting next to Lucas Alexander. He said yes. My other friend said no. Down the line, his friend said yes. Like, I think it was a split bang-bang call. But to me, it's a reputation hold. Like, if there's another left fielder out there who doesn't have the reputation of Stephen Kwan, then you send him. But, like, that ball would have beat him by 10 feet probably, even though Jung Hoo Lee's really fast. Ball beats him by 10 feet, and at that point, I know Casey Schmidt's on deck, and maybe that's something that did or didn't factor into the mind of Williams when he decided not to, but it's like, I don't know, man. I felt like Jung Hoo Lee was going to get thrown out if he tried to test the arm of Kwan. That's why I said no in real time.
Right. And it was.
And unfortunately, they had a lot of opportunities. Like, it wasn't like they lost the game because they didn't send him or not.
Right.
And it wouldn't like it wasn't as if it would have won the game either. Probably would have just got him to extras.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If the shoe's on the other foot and it's Ramos in left field, I'm going.
Well, that's why the Guardians did. I mean, and
right.
to his credit, like Ramos made a great throw.
He did.
That was a strike to home plate that got Arias. But that's why they sent Arias and the Giants didn't send Lee because of the different left fielders.
Yeah, and let me ask you this. We're talking about the Giants, obviously, and Rafael Devers' first game as a Giant. And by the way, coming up at noon, we've got June Lee. He's a contributing writer at Yahoo Sports and wrote a great story about Devers and the Red Sox and all the things that went wrong so that Devers would end up in the Giants' lap, if you will. So I'm looking at this team's defense. And I think it's pretty average. So you got Chapman at third. Adames is mediocre at short. Ramos scares me a little bit out in left field. We saw the play by the left field line last night where it was a double, but it could have been a lot worse. And now we're going to use a first baseman probably, Evan, who's shaky.
Yeah.
So a little worried about their defense, especially without Chapman right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've been, whatever numbers you use, you could look at a few. Like, they've been about league average this year defensively. And Chapman's a big reason for that. He might be the best overall defensive player in the game of baseball. Without him, you're right, it doesn't look great. Like, Ramos's route to that double midway through the game was not a great route. And to be fair, it didn't really cost him. It's probably a double anyways. But the point is, yeah, they're a little shaky defensively. And that stuff does matter when you're playing in tight games. But that's another reason why the Devers acquisition ideally is huge for them. Because before, like, and it cost them last night, but it's like, Schmidt, you cannot get doubled up at second base. And that's also a KYP. Shout out to the great Gary St. Jean. Know your personnel. Know who's in left field. You cannot be taking extra steps off second base when Kwan is coming in on the ball. Those kinds of decisions in the past would destroy a game for the Giants. And I know that they still lost last night, but they had the bases loaded with one out. They still had an opportunity. And one of the reasons was because the player you just acquired got a big hit in the ninth inning. So I know it's not going to make everyone feel better about losing to the Guardians, but I'm telling you, if you're telling me the Giants are getting 10 hits a game or anywhere close to, and I still got that great pitching staff, the bullpen has remained nails. Rodriguez, by the way, came in last night. I think his first appearance since he blew the game in Colorado. Gave up a hit, but got through the ninth. That's going to win you a lot of ball games. So I just think that Posey identified the largest void of his team, which was, I mean, not just hitting, but hitting for power. And he went out and got the best guy available.
Well, I mean, to me,
it's not going to impact your defense, but
no. And to me, it's about opportunities, and they created more opportunity for themselves last night than they had in theory before Devers. So you keep, you know, you start getting more opportunities than you had previously. Eventually, some things are gonna break your way. Here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the starting pitching.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about the starting pitching and its staying power the second half of the season.
So why is that?
I'll tell you why. So I'm looking at, and I'm wondering how much I'm factoring Harrison in there. Because when I'm making a list of the pitchers, you know, Harrison was a guy that, you know, I always had sixth on my list or something like that. But now I'm looking, okay, you got Logan Webb. He's your ace. Robbie Ray. I don't like some of the most innings he's ever thrown in a season was 193, and it was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on a pace to throw about that much this year. There's just, I don't know, there's something about Robbie Ray that leads me to not assume he's going to have the same second kind of half as the first half. And then with a guy like him, I worry about, well, what happens if you do get to, you know, September? And I guess what I'm saying is Jim Bowden, we had him on. He's like, boy, they have, you know, Webb. Why can't I think?
Webb and Ray can dominate a series.
Right. Webb and Ray can dominate a series. And I texted you and I said, I don't know about Ray. I think Webb could. I don't know about Ray in a big game in the postseason, though. Like, I think that's overstating Ray a little bit.
I mean, you never know until you see
sure.
it. But also, and this is what I texted you back, that's why he's not getting the ball game one. You know, he doesn't have to be, and he's been this on clubs before. Like, he's won a Cy Young. I would argue that Robbie Ray has been the ace of three prior staffs before getting to San Francisco. He was the ace when he was in Arizona. He was the ace when he was in Toronto. And he was the ace when he was in Seattle, which is where the Giants acquired him from. He's not your ace. That's why I think Bowden is arguing that they could dominate a series. It's because you have two dudes that have the ability. And like I like Webb more than Ray, but Ray probably has more swing and miss stuff than Webb does. And you kind of need that in the postseason. You got to be able to get strikeouts with guys on base. And Ray last night, I don't think he had his best stuff, and he still went six innings, gave up three runs. Like, that's also the sign of a good pitcher. It's if you're not throwing well, you get banged around a bit, and he's going to give up more home runs probably than Webb does because he pitches up in the zone. Like, you got to be able to still keep your team in a game, which he did. I know he got the loss, but...
No, he was fine, but three runs in six innings... For in that ballpark, I mean, yeah, you'll take that every day. He's only a little bit of my issue. So,
well, he's probably not going to have a 2.5 ERA the whole year.
That's kind of what I'm looking at with his staff as a whole. All right, then we'll go to Verlander. He's pitching tonight. Is he a coin flip at this point?
I don't think you know what you're going to get from Verlander. I mean, my biggest concern about him is that he's 42. Like, the expectation of him pitching a full season to me is a bit foolish.
All right.
You know, he's probably going to hit the IL at some point between now and the remainder of the season, and then the question is how you fill that fifth spot.
Well, let me ask you this. As it relates to finishing a season, and you said you have doubts about Verlander, whether he can or not.
About his longevity, yeah.
Not necessarily an injury, just if he can stay strong the whole season.
No, like, he's 42 years old, and he's had a couple injury-prone seasons. Like, I just don't think that he's going to make... I didn't expect him to make 25 starts this year.
Okay, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. What about when we get down to Birdsong and Roop? Because neither of those guys have pitched a full season, obviously, because they're so young. But how do you... I'm asking you because this is right up your alley. How do you gauge what Birdsong and Roop may or may not do the second half of a season when there's really not there's certainly not a major league sample size for them pitching at this level, you know, in July, August, and September? Like, that's what I'm a little concerned about.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, one of the reasons why Pasta, did they shut down Birdsong at the end of last season?
They did not shut him down, but he will get to the point where he's going to kind of cozy up to his last year's innings limit. Innings. And Landon Root, by the way, is 30 innings away from his last year total. So there's going to be a conversation there.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is Birdsong, even in the minors, the most innings he's ever thrown is 100 or 100 and two-thirds. But last year, he only threw 70. Roop last year, I think, was around 60, maybe 70. So Like you're pushing those guys as far as they've ever been pushed before. And I think that is, like, to me, Steiny, that is actually where the importance of having a Webb, a Ray, and to some extent a Verlander comes into play. The Verlander may not make all the starts, but ideally by the end of the season, you should have him ready to pick up where some of these guys have left off. I also think the fact that, you know, you're doing all this work on the front end of your pitching staff so that your bullpen hasn't really been taxed. I mean, the Giants, I want to say, are one of the fewest staffs in the league in terms of bullpen innings thrown. So that means when your starters aren't going six or seven anymore, or God forbid you got to staff a game, which they don't do very often anymore, your guys are going to be fresher in August and September. So I hear the concerns about the young guys, but that to me is also where your OGs, that's where Posey is kind of looking ahead and saying, that's fine. You know, Verlander, take your time.
Right.
Be 100% when it matters in July, August, September, as opposed to, like, we don't really need you in June. I also don't think it's crazy for the Giants to think about them going out and acquiring an arm. You know, and I'm not talking about a frontline starter, but a guy who can eat innings, basically someone to replace the combination of what Harrison and Hicks were to your team so far.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, yeah, Roop has already thrown 70 innings this year after 50 all of last year. And Birdsong's thrown about 50 also this year when he threw 72 innings all of last year. So, no, that's just something where I'm looking at younger pitchers, and there's two things. One is, you know, you worry about them when other teams see them a number of times over the course of a season, and then you wonder about if they're getting into an area of pitching more innings than they have before. But I don't know whether it was because they lost Harrison or not, but I'm looking at this starting rotation, and yeah, you got two guys at the top right now that are performing at a high level. Your two younger guys in Roop and Birdsong look like they have a lot of potential, though Roop's last outing scared me a little bit. And Birdsong is somebody who's probably going to have to be monitored over the second part of the season. And then you got Verlander, who, you know, I almost think sometimes you got to look at and think, you know, whatever he gives us is going to be gravy outside of mentoring the rest of the staff. But I agree with you. I think Verlander is going to be important because he's going to have to fill in some gaps, I think, over the next 3 or 4 months.
Well, take someone like Roop. That start to me is completely understandable. He's never pitched at Dodger Stadium before. He's probably never faced a lineup as good as the Dodgers. And also, Steiny, he just made his 14th start of the season. The most starts he's ever had in his life was his senior year at UNC Wilmington when he made 15 starts. So he's getting up to that point where, again, he has not pitched like this as a starter before in his life.
Right.
So you don't really know how he's going to respond, but I think it's completely understandable to say, all right, yeah, he didn't have his best stuff that day. Guess what? You don't have your best stuff against the Dodgers, you're going to get pummeled. That's just the way it goes. But I also have no doubt that this week against, I'm not sure if he's lined up to pitch against Cleveland or Boston. My guess would be Boston, but he can't go give you five innings at home. Like, he's gonna pitch better at home than he does on the road.
Right. I'm thinking more of, okay, so, and we saw it with Rodriguez in Colorado, where you said, you know, this is the first three-out save in the top of an inning that he's been, in the top of the ninth that he's been asked to get, and he didn't do it. Roop, first appearance at Dodger Stadium. And I get it, those are significant outings. But on a lesser scale, you start playing in late July, August, September. All those games are kind of going to take on a feel like that, and that's when we'll obviously get a truer measure of Birdsong and Roop. And I'm not saying expect them to falter, but you know, when you've got two pitchers like that, you just have to acknowledge that something could go wrong, but they may lose effectiveness over the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, bats are going to heat up. The weather's going to get a little bit better. Conditions are going to become better for hitters. Your pitching staff is going to be lesser, but that's also why the Devers deal is so important. you're going to have to score more than 3 runs a game if you're going to consistently win, I think, in the second half of the year. I think that's also why sending away Harrison and Hicks is not a major loss. Like, it's pitching depth. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
However, Harrison, by virtue of his age, has never really pitched deep into a season before. You don't know if he's going to wear down by the end of the year. Hicks, by virtue of his role, having not been a starting pitcher for all that long, and we saw it last year, is probably going to wear down later in the season. So I would rather use those guys and go get a bat. And I would have never imagined that Harrison and Hicks could get you at Rafi Devers. But that bat becomes so much more important the later in the year that it gets. Whereas those arms, to your point, Siney, they're kind of going to fade a little bit. Like, the Giants right now have more ways to win than we already knew before. And it felt like they're winning a different way every single night about a week ago.
888-957-9570 is the number. Devers, he's going to help the San Francisco Giants offense. There's no doubt about that. I think we saw a little of that last night. Are you worried about any other aspects of this team right now? I mean, hitting was such a glaring issue, and Devers addresses it to a point where does it become the non-major issue now on this team? Or if I were to say to you, pitching, defense, or hitting, if you could upgrade one of those three areas still, which one would it be? Would it still be one more hitter? Would it be another starting pitcher? Would it be a reliever? Or you just let this team play for a little bit and let it kind of sink in, and then you figure out what you're going to do. All right, on the other side, coming up at noon, we've got June Lee, contributing writer for Yahoo Sports. He's also written for ESPN, the New York Times. Had a great story on Devers and the Red Sox and what went wrong. We're going to talk to him at noon. That's June Lee. And then hopefully around 12:55, we get John Smoltz in here. John Smoltz. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. That segment also brought to you by Ceramani Ford.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle-cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold, zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no-sugar-added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.